here on The Scoop, getting ready for week one of the NFL season between the Minnesota Vikings and the San Francisco 49ers. Here to help us break down things from the Vikings' perspective is AJ Mansour of KFAN 100.3 FM. AJ, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back. It's good to be talking real football, too.
Yeah, we had the Vikings 53-man roster constructed here this past weekend, and plenty of surprises in terms of players that were kept and players that were cut. What were some of the biggest surprises, AJ, in what we saw from the Vikings roster announcement?
Well, you know, when you look at them, I don't know that you call them surprises, but you know, obviously the Brian Robinson cut and the Terrence Newman retirement and switched coaching, I think, were two of the ones that came out of left field, just because it appeared that they had a role on this team, and the Vikings made some tough decisions to utilize those roster spots in different fashions, and to do so they had to clear them up. And you know, you have two guys near the end of their careers, if not at the end of their careers. You know, Terrence Newman retired, and because he came a coach, he is now, you know, he can't play again because he can't become a coach immediately. For Brian Robinson, it's a little bit of a different situation where you don't know if he's going to play going forward or not. So, you know, they opted to go younger, and they now have one of the younger rosters in the league, and they're building for the future. It was a business decision that both those guys understand. They may not like it, but they understand it. But it is what it is, and from here they go on to whatever's next, and then to the regular season.
For Newman, it came down to use his own words, he felt like he was being selfish by taking a roster spot that could have been given to one of those younger defensive backs like Holton Hill, for example. Just how incredible is it to see players like that in this day and age, who are the ultimate team-first guys, making a call like this that has a huge impact on the roster?
Yeah, it's great. You know, this is a team game, and this is the ultimate team decision where, you know, Terrence Newman doesn't necessarily have a special affinity for the Minnesota Vikings outside of the fact that he played with them for the last couple of years. But he didn't spend most of his career here. He's not from here, but he made a decision to make this team better, and it was at his own detriment. So to see him do that, it tells you what kind of person he is, what kind of future he has in this league. Again, these guys realize that at some point in time, one of the only things guaranteed in their career is that it's going to come to an end, and the league might pass them by. So to see both those guys do it now, I guess, was the surprise. And then you just kind of hope that the guys that they replace them for are able to take advantage of that opportunity and turn it into something.
Looking at the Vikings as we get ready for Sunday's game against the 49ers, big topic is going to be what do the Vikings do with Pat Elflein likely to miss week one? Where do they go at center? There was a member of the national media, and I'm forgetting his name at this point, but trying to kind of fill in the gaps and let us know who was going to be the starting center. It sounded like today that was pretty unanimously shot down by Coach Zimmer and also others.
Yeah, I think it was Brian Baldinger was the
That's
one who
the
came
one.
Out with the report that Danny Isadora was going to be the center for this team when they open up on Sunday versus the 49ers. A couple others, you know, local media even kind of substantiated that report. So there was something there. It wasn't like he was grasping at straws and making stuff up. Something was there to let them believe that. And then you get down to TCO today, Mike Zimmer talking to the media. He said that he saw the report, but he wouldn't confirm whether it was accurate or not. And then about an hour later, we were all down in the locker room, and Kirk Cousins seemingly accidentally spilled the beans, referencing how he hopes to build a rapport with Jones, and that would be Brett Jones, the center that they just traded for from the New York Giants. And then when he was pressed on whether that was his confirmation that Jones would be the starting, Cousins said, "I don't make roster decisions. That's who I took snap from at the morning through at 10:20 this morning." Only a matter of time. The media was available to go to practice afternoon, but Kirk Cousins kind of spilled the beans a little early, and then practice go on that afternoon. It was, in fact, Brett Jones snapping for Cousins with the first team, Pat Upline active and snapping to Trevor Siemian with the second team, and then Danny Isadora snapping to Slaughter and the third team scout team players.
I'm just looking at how this line will go forward here after this week. I've seen reports that the team has been raving about what Jones has been able to do, how quickly he has picked up the playbook. So once Elflein is back, is it just the assumption that that Jones will slide in at, say, left guard and just continue to start once Elflein's back and ready?
You know, that's a thought. I don't know if it's an assumption, but he's a guy who comes in with starting offensive line experience, and that's, you can't undervalue that in this league. A lot of people who have that, a lot of times, all too often, you know, players come in and they're forced to have some starting experience. You look at the Vikings offensive line the last couple of years, you have guys who weren't ready, who were thrown into a starting spot because of injuries ahead of them. That wasn't the case with Jones last year. He earned his spot with the Giants last year. He earned those starts. And as going forward, he has that under his belt. So he has skills, and as the swing interior lineman going from guard to center, that's his role on this team. So with Nick Easton injured, with opportunities to find some space to get in there and play, that seemingly would be something that they are going to consider. But you know, it might depend on how the first couple of games. If Jones goes in there, even if he's playing center and he is completely overwhelmed by the competition when it's live football, there's something to be said on, hey, is it just the center position? Is that his or is that what he brings to the table? And whether he's center or guard, he's going to have some struggles. So I think we're going to have to wait and see what the first week or two go and look like.
AJ, looking at this matchup against the 49ers, in terms of the health of the Vikings, anybody other than Pat Elflein who is being monitored right now as to whether they'll be available for Sunday's game?
You know, the only one that we would really consider to look out for is Mackenzie Alexander. Injured his ankle in that Seattle preseason game and hasn't been seen since. He sat out again today, was doing some rehab work on the side. How that factors in is not necessarily whether or not Mackenzie Alexander is going to be out there, but if Mackenzie Alexander is injured and does not play in this, that'll tell us that Mike Hughes, rookie cornerback, first-round pick for the team, going to be the first-team cornerback, and that, I guess, is a big sign for what the future of this team might hold and how he's going to progress. He, right now, is filled in as a backup cornerback behind Mackenzie Alexander, unless Alexander is injured and can't go. So it could be situations where, if that is the case and Alexander can't go, Hughes goes in, does well, and at the end, that might be the last time we see Mackenzie Alexander as that first team nickel cornerback.
Wow. AJ, the 49ers come in. Last year, they made the trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, and after that, they won every game that he started. But now, his first opportunity to be a starter full-time in the NFL, going up against the Mike Zimmer-led Vikings defense. How big of a difficulty is this for a quarterback like Garoppolo to step in and go up against this defense?
Well, it's going to be a tough task, you know. I think there's a lot of pressure on Garoppolo too, and you know, some of that comes from his success that he had last year, the high expectations, the big paycheck that some people think that maybe he hasn't quite yet earned. But the 49ers put a lot of faith in him. They believe that he is going to be the quarterback of their future, and now we wait and see. He gets the first test. Getting there last year, they did win the last five games of their season. How much of that does carry over? Personnel is a little different. Schemes are a little it got their team, it got the fans excited. It got a lot of national attention to make, you know, Super Bowl odds came out. It was kind of, you know, weird that the 49ers were considered the top half of the favor. But at the same time, you can see maybe where it came from. I think those expectations have tempered a little bit. And they have a difficult task going into Minnesota defense with their first game this season. So you're going to learn a lot about both these teams in game number one. It doesn't mean if one team wins, they're on to success, and if the other loses, the season is. But at the same time, everybody's hoping for success and hoping for, you know, to get a taste of what these teams might look like. Again, Garoppolo has a tough task going up against arguably defense in the league.
unfortunate situation for Jerick McKinnon. He signed the big deal with the 49ers in the offseason, ends up tearing his ACL, so he is done for the year. How much does that impact the 49ers offense, not only with McKinnon being out, but also this close to the season, leaving them scrambling to try to replace him?
Yeah, you know, it's going to impact them. I'm torn on the whole Jerick McKinnon situation. I love Jerick McKinnon. He's a great guy when he was here in Minnesota. He's a great guy in general, but I don't know that I believed that he was ready to be a starting running back. And he got a deal from San Francisco. They appeared to be ready and believe in him going forward, but I wasn't. I needed to see something, and unfortunately, we're not going to see it this year. So they let Carlos Hyde go. They let some opportunities go by the wayside. It kind of left them in a position where maybe they're going to have to trade for a running back. And you know, I know a team that has five of them on their roster right now, the Minnesota Vikings. So there's some questions there as far as whether he was able to do it. But you know, anytime you lose a player who is a starting player in your this close to the season, it's going to throw you for a loop. So, you know, I don't equate it to as severe of a derailment as when the Vikings lost Teddy Bridgewater this close to the regular season a couple years ago. But at the same time, they had high hopes, had plans for Jerick McKinnon. Those plans likely included a good mix in the run game and the pass game, and that might have to change now depending on who the backup is that fills in and what he can bring to the table.
Looking at this 49ers defense, of course, they made the big splash by bringing in Richard Sherman, who is coming back from an Achilles injury. Other than that, how is this Vikings offense going to be able to move the ball against the 49ers defense?
Well, they're going to have to take advantage of the opportunities that they're given. The 49ers defense is an aggressive defense, and they're going to give some opportunities there. It's to Kirk Cousins, Mike Zimmer, and DeFilippo to identify those opportunities and take advantage of them when they come back. So it's going to be identifying what the 49ers are doing and making the play when it does come up. So that's not going to take advantage of it. This is a talented defense still for San Francisco with some talented players. So you need to watch guys, you need to scheme against guys, and when they give you the opportunity, you know, make steady dose and then strike deep. So I think that it's going to be an even run pass attack for this Vikings team season, and hopefully they can strike when the getting is good and take advantage of the opportunities that they're given, things that they see throughout the game.
AJ, are you concerned at all about the special teams for the Vikings going with rookie kicker Daniel Carlson and also cutting Ryan Quigley to bring in the new punter for the Vikings? Weil is his last name. I'm forgetting his first name. I just had it off the top of my head. But
Matt Weil.
Yes. Are you concerned at all about the youth of the special teams unit as we start the regular season?
I'm concerned about the youth. Obviously, with youth comes inexperience, and that's probably what you're getting at. But that's always something that does throw you for a loop, and it's this new group. Now, Kevin McDermott's the only one that is kind of the incumbent. You're long snapper. You're holder for the goals, who they barely have any work together with Matt Weil being the holder. Affect the rookie kicker. You know, is that going to get in his head? He had the one game where he missed a two balls bounce back, was able to get two out versus Tennessee. But does a new holder shake that up a little bit? The punting situation was weird. You know, Quigley last season had no punts go for a touchback during the regular season. On paper, that appeared to be a wonderful success. But there were really some things behind the scenes that didn't fit, and maybe, you know, he wasn't exactly, you know, it turned out well. It didn't happen the way that it was supposed to or the way that they wanted. And then he looked pretty mightily here in the preseason, and they made the decision to take an opportunity, a punter, that was cut from the Pittsburgh Steelers and, you know, in their minds, improved. So these guys, again, we'll say it time and time again, and these guys know a heck of a lot more about all of these players than we do. We're going to have to put our pick in there and trust them as an upgrade. At the same time, experience, youth does breed in some nervousness, I guess, as you go into the regular season when every point matters and you could be the game-changing field goal on the line.
a couple more for AJ Mansour here from KFAN 100.3 FM. AJ, Dalvin Cook getting back as the starting running back for the first time in a regular season game since tearing his ACL against Detroit last year. Do we expect to see a little bit of a lessened workload for Cook, considering that you've got Latavius Murray, who will be more than capable of picking up some carries, but also a couple of rookies in Mike Boone and Rock Thomas that the Vikings really like as well?
Yeah, for sure. The rookies really splashed during the season, but I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of them. I do think that it's going to be a lessened load for Dalvin Cook. Part of that, obviously, because of the injury and slowly coming back. But another part of it is Latavius Murray looked really, really good. I remember back in the season, Latavius came in, he had a foot surgery. He didn't do a whole lot of activity. The offseason program, and then very, very slowly acclimated to the regular season. There was one particular day in week number one where color analyst Pete Burst, I think, he looked like Titanic trying to make a U-turn when he was trying to cut and change directions. That's not a good, very slow plopping move. That's not the guy I've seen this year. We've seen a guy in preseason who is looking very good. He's looking very healthy, very dominant, strong, fast, mixing in all facets of the game. So it was, an upgrade from what we saw from him this time last year. And I think that will give this team the opportunity to let Dalvin Cook slowly roll himself into this and not feel like he put too much pressure on getting back too fast and giving him the load right away. So you're going to be able to slow roll your injured guy, get him acclimated, let him trust his knee a little more. And you shouldn't, because Latavius can pick up repetitions and still be effective running back in all facets of this offense.
AJ, just looking at the X factors, everybody likes to do the X factors, who's going to be the X factor on offense, who is on defense. I'll just ask you one, either the offense or the defense, who is most critical to the Vikings coming away with a week one win?
Well, I hate to take the answer, but it's going to be Kirk Cousins. the high-priced free agent you bring in to really change this team and give them what they maybe didn't have last year. And that's not a knock on Case Keenum, but Kirk is expected to take this team to the next level. Do I expect that? I recall that to happen in week number one? No. But you don't want to see it regress. You don't want to see him take a step backwards when you have a quarterback that should take you a step further. You get your running back healthy and back at the same time, and you have two wide receivers on the outside that have big seasons under their belt now. But I think it all goes as Kirk goes. If Kirk is comfortable, if Kirk finds his wide receivers, if Kirk gets the run game going, makes the right calls at the line of scrimmage, you're going to see this team have success. I do think that the team will win. It's just a matter of whether they win by one score or two or three scores, depending on how well Kirk Cousins plays in this first game.
Final one for you, AJ. Any content that the listeners can check out over at KFAN.com leading up to the Vikings game on Sunday?
Well, we'll continue to preview this game, highlight stuff that the 49ers bring to the table, the Vikings bring to the table. One thing that I brought to the table today is my excitement for starter jackets return. The new starter jackets were released very recently, and they're online, and you can relive your youth and get a Minnesota Vikings starter jacket. That's up there right now. That's been a fun conversation as everybody's been conversing, talking about starter jacket they rocked back the heyday for me. It was the Golden Gophers one, sprinkled the Timberwolves one later on, a couple years later. But for a lot of people, they're remembering the Charlotte Hornets, Superstar, like Santa the Sharks, the fun starter jackets that they had back in the day. And now they're white. I don't know why they're white, but they're white Minnesota Vikings starter jackets available for the cheap price, $150.
Oh, my. I might have to take a little closer look at that. But, AJ, glad to have you back on the show here again this week to preview week one against the 49ers. Hopefully on Monday we'll be talking about a 1-0 start. Regardless, we will break down week one with you again on Monday.
Sounds good, brother. Always good to be back, and we'll talk to you next week.